or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Those were the good old days when the greatest threat to human existence was nuclear war, and where there was a standoff between the U.S. and the USSR called MAD, Mutually Assured Deterrence, because each side knew if they were to launch an attack on the other, they would be decimated as well, until we had the prophet, Bill Gates, enter the scene and conduct seminars around the world explaining the greatest threat to human existence was not actually nuclear war, but was instead a pandemic. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Here's a guy who's not an MD. He's not a virologist. He's not an epidemiologist. He's a computer geek who deliberately put out inferior operating systems so they could be constantly updated following the model of the U.S. defense contractors who make more money off of their maintenance and repair of projects because they produced inferior quality merchandise to begin with. Bill Gates is following in their tradition and making a bundle, transferring talk about computer viruses to human viruses with no bona fide knowledge except inside information. Isn't it remarkable? Inside information, because he, like Tony the Rat, Anthony Fauci, who predicted in 2017 that the Trump administration would be confronted not only by the seasonal flu, AIDS, HIV, where he himself appears to have played a major role, but also by a surprise pandemic. But as I've observed many times, how can it be a surprise if Anthony Fauci knew it was coming in 2017? And since he was our guy, the highest paid executive in the government, it turns out, to prepare us for just such an eventuality, why were we not prepared? Well, it's pretty obvious the whole thing was going to be an enormous scam. Now, I'm extremely pleased to have today with me Danny Siras, extensive background in law enforcement, very astute, critic of many issues, including, for example, exposing the Kobe helicopter crash was in fact a fraud and a fake. Today, Danny sent me a story with which we begin. Nearly 200 healthcare workers at Houston Hospital System have been suspended and face termination for refusing to take COVID vaccine. Makes you wonder what they know that we don't. Scores of workers at a Houston Hospital System have been suspended and face being fired for refusing to take the COVID-19 vaccination. A controversial company mandate that has drawn protests and an outcry from those facing termination. It appears on itself, and I'll get Danny's opinion, to be an illegal move. Having been subjected to an illegal global lockdown of people in world economies, having been forced to wear anti-science face masks, a new battlefield is now open. That new battlefield is whether or not people have a right to refuse to be injected with Bill Gates' favorite substance, the mRNA vaccines. Welcome to death in the pot. Sherry Tenpenny, for example, has observed that these mRNA vaccines are perfectly designed killing machines. This article even includes a quote from 2 Kings. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried it and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. As we watch the intricate web of lies told by Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci continue to unravel, you have to remember, all of this is theater, but the deadly, non-entertaining kind of theater, in much the same way as warfighters will talk about the theater of operations. The vaccine was not made for the COVID virus. The COVID virus was biohacked to gain a function interference, if it's real at all. And frankly, some I think have misunderstood, because I'm addressing it both ways. Both the official narrative is bad enough, but we have other reason to believe that the real threat is not in the alleged virus, but rather in the vaccines, where I think there can be no doubt, and then intentionally released on the world. But as bad as the virus was, the vaccine was going to be many times worse. Take it at your own peril. Once you agree you have no right not to be vaccinated, you will never be free again. There are some things you can lose, you can never regain, and this is among them. So we have 178 healthcare workers suspended from Houston Methodist Hospital for refusing COVID-19 vaccination. Danny, that tells me they've been following the science. They recognize the threat this represents, and they're not going to do it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Fetzer. Well, my thoughts are they're nuts. I mean, that's just absolutely crazy. You know, they've tried to do this in a few areas of the country. This is a highly Democrat controlled area in Houston, where you know, they kind of try to get people to do as they say and go against the norm. I could tell you out here in California, they tried that, but the unions all stepped up and said, no, don't even try it. And they backed off of the talk of any kind of forcing of vaccine. So I really don't understand how they think they're going to get away with it. I know in Houston, they're also having a shortage of medical workers. You know, in some cases, they're offering bonuses and stuff for nurses to come to work there. You know, and that city's already plagued with a huge amount of crime. They have a lot of problems there in the healthcare industry. You know, that as far as I could tell, there is no union. There's a lot, the pay is quite low compared to other places in the country. And now you want to throw more fuel on the fire and saying, hey, you have to bow to the Democrats and take this experimental approved vaccine, or else you can't even keep your current job. I think this is going to backfire, sir. I think this is going to cause a big, massive backlash. I think there'll be a multiple of lawsuits filed if it hasn't already happened. There's, you know, it's just not going to work out very well, and we'll have to see what happens. But I think it's a joke trying to force your healthcare workers to take something that could possibly kill them or definitely injure them.
What I like about it, Danny, is because it is healthcare workers and they would expect to be better informed than the public on the average. The fact that they're resisting is very, very telling. We have another report that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been pulled after recipients began experiencing blood clots, abnormal pain, and shortness of breath. Meanwhile, we have in Washington, D.C., Marjorie Taylor Greene, whom I esteem, reporting the real story behind COVID-19 is a pandemic of lies. For more than a year, politicians, public health experts, and media elites have helped the Chinese Communist Party cover up what really happened 2 years ago in Wuhan. With a flood of evidence now pointing to the Wuhan Institute of Virology as a true source of the novel coronavirus, the global elite's dam of lies is finally starting to crack. That's why I support a full court press investigation into the true origins of COVID-19, including the gain-of-function research being conducted on coronaviruses at the Wuhan Institute, the lax safety standards at the Wuhan lab, Chinese Communists' refusal to allow international investigators to examine the facility, big tech censoring of the evidence for the lab leak theory during the last year's election campaign, the three Wuhan scientists who became seriously ill in late 2019, the National Institute of Health funding for the Wuhan lab and its coronavirus research, and finally, what did Anthony Fauci know about the Wuhan cover-up, and when did he know it? One thing we don't have to investigate is why the liberal media pretended the Wuhan lab leak story was a conspiracy theory despite all the evidence. We know why they lied, because the truth would have proven President Trump was right about COVID-19 all along. Now, elites are trying to memory hole their complicity in the racist, sexist, genocidal Chinese communist attempt to gaslight the world about the origins of a disease that has killed 3 million people, or shall we say, has been reported to have killed 3 million people. We can't let them get away with it. House conservatives are going to ask every question, follow every lead, find every whistleblower from here to Wuhan, but those elites still control the House floor. They control Congress subpoena power. They control the agencies we're going to be questioning and the media who will report on our work. We can start this investigation in 2021, but the only way to finish it will be to take back the House of Representatives in 2022. Danny, that's a brilliant piece from Marjorie Taylor Greene. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, of course, I'm a big fan of what she's doing. She, you know, she's waking up a lot of people all over the country, which is great. You know, she's bucking what's going on. It's just a ridiculous thing that's going on, sir. I mean, people are waking up all over to this COVID nonsense, which is what I like to talk about. And, you know, people, the injuries, you have the deaths that are, you know, climbing daily. You know, I like that report you did on the blood clots. I mean, I have a personal friend that why in the heck he took the vaccine, I don't know. But 2 weeks after he had the second shot, he passed away in his sleep at night. He ended up coming down with COVID. He got sick, developed sort of a hacking cough, and ended up having a heart attack in his sleep at 57 years old. It's quite disgusting. You know, I hope the world is waking up to this COVID vaccine scam, sir.
Wow, that's really quite something, Danny. My own father died at 57 of a heart attack after playing tennis with a dear friend of his, but he had arterial sclerosis, heart disease, and it was a natural death. This blood clot business is very, very serious. I reported weeks ago in Russia, against the advice of the World Health Organization, they conducted an autopsy of an alleged COVID-19 death, decedent patient, and discovered he died from blood clots. So they introduced immediately an aspirin regimen, and Danny, they released 14,000 from the hospitals the same day. So I recommend if anyone has taken these shots, something you can do is to take aspirin. You know, they say take two aspirin and call me in the morning. Well, you don't have to call me, but I do recommend taking aspirin. I'm doing it myself as a precaution because I have friends and relatives who have taken the vax. And from everything I can tell, it looks as though those who are in close proximity to anyone who has taken the vax incur certain risks themselves. So don't be naive. Do what you can to protect yourself. Meanwhile, the completely incompetent administration is revealing itself and becoming the laughing joke of the world. Kamala Harris' foreign trip, such a disaster, even the Biden administration is perplexed. Biden officials are perplexed by Vice President Harris' handling of her embarrassing first international trip. This is even reported by CNN. Harris' trip earlier this week to Central America and Mexico, coupled with her awkward interview with NBC News anchor Lester Holt over her absence at the U.S. border with Mexico, reportedly has those close to her attempting to make sense of her bungled foreign visit. Then it doesn't require making sense. She's a brainless boob. She has no intelligence. She's a flyweight. The very idea she's in this position is outrageous and an insult. Here's part of what CNN reported. Harris endured a rocky first foreign trip since taking office, with sources telling CNN her two-day swing through Mexico and Guatemala left some administrative officials quietly perplexed about what they perceive as her bumpy answers to questions about whether she will go to the U.S.-Mexico border. Several say there was a real hope inside the White House that Harris' first trip would be a success and worry that what looked like ill-prepared answers to the inevitable question would overshadow it, referring to the NBC interview, during which Lester Holt asked Harris why, as a White House envoy to the border, she has steered clear of the area for months among the unprecedented humanitarian crisis created by her administration's open borders messaging. There is no way to spin Harris' absence at the border as well as her unpreparedness for being questioned by Holt, who, to his credit, asked her point blank why she hadn't bothered to see the international spectacle for herself. At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border, Harris told Holt when fending off the question. You haven't been to the border, Holt responded in a comment that made it appear as though the establishment media might be prepared to hold Biden administration officials accountable with regard to the crisis. For a change, let me add. Harris awkwardly laughed, noting, and I haven't been to Europe. She thinks it's a joke. And I mean, I don't understand the point you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border. Here we have Steve Cortez on Twitter, cringe video. Over awkward laughs, Kamala Harris. We've been to the border. Holt challenges the lie. Kamala, and I haven't been to Europe. Do we have an illegal migrant crisis on our borders with Europe? The interview raised eyebrows at the White House, according to those who spoke with CNN. The outlet noted it acknowledging Harris's answer was a soundbite that would likely stick with her as she continues to confront issues at the southern border. Her response raised the issue of potentially overshadowing a trip White House officials saw as an opportunity to display the true intent of an assignment that's been conflated in the weeks since its announcement. Instead, she was stuck once again dealing with an issue that's drawn repeated GOP attacks, one some officials say they'd assume she'd be able to easily address and move on from when it was first answered. But, in fact, it was a calamity. And Danny, of course, it's because what's going on here, you know, it was a complete disaster. Despite Harris's attempts to stave off criticism over her absence by claiming she's going to the root of the migrant issue, she's now dealing with more calls to do her job. which for now is to bring stability to the border. She did finally pledge to visit the border on Tuesday, Reuters has now reported. The vice president said she'd been to the border before and will go again, but did not specify when. With Harris taking point when speaking with world leaders earlier this year, it became apparent Biden administration believes she's capable of handling business down south. But it appears as though officials now feel they overestimated her abilities to run point on the border. Harris already seemed woefully unprepared to handle her current position after Tuesday. She has fewer supporters on the inside. Her abysmal performance is reported to be so jarring that not only are Biden administration officials anonymously expressing concerns about it, but even bias CNN is reporting it. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, my favorite part about that trip, sir, was in Guatemala when they held up the signs that said Trump won. I mean, you know, she's illegitimate as it gets. We all know about the fraud in the election that's continuing to be uncovered daily, with the evidence that pours out daily from Arizona and other states on all the ballot fraud, the fake ballots and whatnot. I mean, I still can't believe we're living daily this completely fraudulent election dealing with this. They picked Kamala because she's by far, in my opinion, the most corrupt politician in all of California. Everything she touched turned to garbage. She was terrible at her job. She was extremely corrupt. She's just terrible, no matter what she did. And now in the vice presidency, or the fake vice president, she's even worse. I mean, she's an embarrassment to the United States. She's an embarrassment to the American people. It makes you wonder what kind of a screw-up is she going to pull off next. But the sign saying, you know, Trump won was amazing. I even seen him holding up those signs at a sporting event over in Europe to send a message to the Biden or the fake Biden team on what the people think of her. She's not respected around the world. You know, she should be embarrassed. And it was extremely embarrassing. It was nice to see Lester Holt ask her a tough question like he did. You wouldn't expect that on CNN, but she completely fumbled it. I doubt we'll ever see her at the border unless they, you know, sweep it, try to script it in some way to try and make her look better. But we're just not going to see it. I mean, she's been nothing but a screw-up since this whole thing before, and now she's even worse. I believe during the debate, she only got 2% of the support. So they picked the lowest candidate everybody hated the most to be vice president. What did you expect? She falls on her face again. She's a complete embarrassment. I don't know how she can even show her face in public at this point.
And of course, Danny, she was the first Democrat to drop out. There were about 17. She did not even make it to Iowa. And I agree, not only was there the sign Trump won, there was a sign go home, which he ought to have done. And we're getting further evidence that Trump won. The interim county attorney in Michigan has released a bombshell report that the county voting machines were actually remotely logged into and has decertified the interim election outcome. This is pretty fascinating. This is Michigan attorney Matthew DePierno, who's broken the news. Here's what he has said. We have been lied to. The Antrim County election management system was remotely and successfully locked into anonymously on 11-5-2020 at 5:55 p.m. and again on 11-17-2020 at 5:17. That is correct, remotely. Those dates are significant because they correspond directly to the dates the county and the Secretary of State were trying to correct the intentional computer problems that subverted the election. These logons appear to have escalated privileges at the time of logon, again, remotely. But we were told there was no internet connection. In an accredited system, an anonymous user should not be authorized by the accreditation authority, but would instead be required to enter a specific username and password to utilize the system. We were told there was no internet connection. We were told there was no remote access. We were told this was human error. all lies. This is fraud. This decertifies the Antrim County election. Secretary of State Benson should resign or be impeached. This is very serious stuff, Danny. I'm absolutely fascinated by what's going on here. Your thoughts?
Well, sir, you know, I followed the election pretty close as you did. I mean, I'm still reeling from watching it that night to where they halted the election. I mean, that was that in itself. We knew, here we go, here comes the fraud. But now it's pouring out all over the place with the fake ballots and, you know, what's going on with the voting machines. I mean, you know, of course they've been telling us there's no internet access. They've lied at every single step to tell us exactly how the voting machines work. You know, I've had a hunch, sir, for many years that as soon as the voting machines came into play, all of a sudden it seemed like the election started to swing, and all we saw were globalist hacks. We saw all the Democrats start to take over. I mean, we saw it all over the United States in the different states and the different cities where they have a stronghold. But yet you talk to people that live there, and many of them are conservative, and nobody I know voted Democrat. But yet, you know, we see these areas where the Democrats kept getting in because of these voting machines. And then we turn to find out who owns the voting machines. Well, we have George Soros. We have even Mitt Romney from Utah owning a portion of a voting machine company. You know, who else owns a voting machine company? Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci? I mean, these voting machines, sir, are, you know, a ripoff to the American people. They've created fraud, you know, on a massive scale. I believe the only way we're ever going to have a fair election is we throw all these voting machines out. We go back to a paper ballot hand count with a voter ID, show a driver's license, show some sort of a government ID, and then we'll finally get back to a fair election. And I think we'll see a vastly different country at that point.
Oh, Danny, I couldn't agree more. Getting rid of electronic voting machines is number one on my list of recommendations of how we can regain control over our own nation's destiny. We got a break here coming up, and then we'll turn to more information, more revelations coming, in this case, from Arizona. We'll be right back with Danny Searis.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is your host, Jim Fetzer, with my special guest today, Danny Siris, a return engagement. Danny always has perceptive, relevant comments to make. Danny, your observation about if the word has reached Guatemala that Trump won, you'd presume it has reached the continental United States. And here we have an Arizona audit update where Representative Mark Fincham has observed six states have visited the audit. Georgia, Alaska, and Colorado have toured the Arizona audit facility, and they are not alone. The states include Pennsylvania, Georgia, Colorado, Alaska, Virginia, Nevada. That is wonderful. The representative observed more from Georgia will be in tomorrow and other states later in the week. Until those states have visited, we do not want to release their names to prevent harassment. After spending a portion of time with these legislators, the unanimous sentiment is the trip and time spent was well worth it. Election integrity is a priority in every community across America. Many state delegates have shown interest in the audit to ensure a future with fraud-free elections as a focus. And I'm very pleased that Arizona is leading the way. All states need to come here because insecure elections are indeed a national security threat worth fixing. I can now confirm that Nevada has also come to visit the Arizona audit. To our knowledge, only Georgia will perform a walkthrough today, but won't know until this afternoon. Meanwhile, we have revelations about Hunter Biden using a racial term, the N-word, in multiple times in conversation with his white $845 an hour lawyer, text messages have revealed. The shocking text may prove embarrassing for his father, who only last week gave a speech decrying racism on the 100th anniversary of the Tulsa massacre and has sought to portray racial justice as a top priority. Danny, this is, they're scraping the barrel, you know, to try to find some racist incidents from the past that they can make to present as though it were current or relevant today. I find all of this incredibly disappointing, but also unsurprising. we have a whole series of texts here about Hunter in these using the N-word again and again. I shall spare us going through it, but Danny, isn't this revealing?
Well, in regards to Hunter Biden, sir, I mean, you know, what a criminal he is. I just can't believe that he's in the media getting any press whatsoever. He belongs in the bottom of a jail somewhere after what, you know, he has committed, you know, to help Biden with the fraud, but along with, you know, stealing of the American tax dollars, all the other things he's involved with. You know, we have photographs of him with underage, you know, children. You know, that guy just is disgusting beyond belief. But to get back to this election fraud thing, you know, I'm glad that this Arizona thing is unraveling, you know, quickly. I just wish the MSN would cover it a little bit more. But, you know, they're trying to cover it up. You know, and what is their weapon of cover-up is to try to always say it's some sort of a racism or throw a racism story in there, which has nothing to do with the election fraud. You know, the election was the biggest fraud in American history, as far as I'm concerned, or one of them. It's certainly the biggest one of my lifetime. We continue to live this nightmare with this fake president, this fake vice president, and their atrocious policies that they're trying to ram down our throat, which are completely, most of them, unconstitutional. You know, they're destroying the country at record pace, as fast as they can, while trying to take our rights away daily. You know, it's disgusting to watch every single day. It's just amazing what's going on. And I praise these audits that are going on in Arizona. I mean, I've been reading through the notes. You know, Trump won in a landslide in Arizona. I believe the same thing is going to happen when all the other states do their audit. And it's about time that this stuff get reported in the mainstream and start going out to the American people about what really happened in this election. I believe we need to move on to policies that prevent this from ever happening again. But more important, we need to restore order and throw these two fraudsters out of office as soon as possible, sir.
Danny, I couldn't agree with you more. Meanwhile, there's a Senate report that is a gross misrepresentation of what happened on January 6th. They continue to call it an insurrection. Nevertheless, they're acknowledging that there was information available prior to the event that it was going to take place. It doesn't fault former President Trump, even though they cite here that he told his supporters to fight like hell to overturn his defeat just before it wrongly claims hundreds of them stormed the building. They were not Trump supporters. They appear to have been Antifa, BLM, and others parading, masquerading as though they were Trump supporters. No one had a greater motive or more ability to manage this situation than the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. No one had less motive for there to be any interference with discussion of election fraud, which is precisely what was disrupted by the intrusion. We see Trump speaking at the Ellipse. I mean, it's just absolutely fascinating, where Amy Klobuchar, who's proven to be a complete and total stooge, in my opinion, utterly unqualified for her office. Here are some of the takeaways from the report. Ignored intelligence. The Senate investigators revealed the Capitol Police had intelligence in the weeks before the insurrection. Weeks before, Danny, that some Trump supporters were openly planning a siege to stop the certification of President Biden's victory. Now, look, how many lies can you pack in a single sentence? These weren't Trump supporters, and there wasn't a siege, and they weren't seeking to decertify Biden's victory. What's important here is that they had this information weeks in advance. What that means is there cannot have been any incitement by Donald Trump, who was speaking at the Ellipse and who did not finish or conclude his speech until after these events had already begun. Of course, they're going to call for a commission. While praising the report, Democrats have said it justifies a deeper look. where Republican senators last week blocked legislation that would have formed a bipartisan independent commission. Well, this bipartisan independent commission was going to be led by Philip Zelikow, who, to my eternal dismay, is a professor in the Department of History at the University of Virginia, also known as Mr. Jefferson's University, that a great Democrat, that a great American, that a great constitutionalist like Thomas Jefferson should have a university where a scoundrel like Philip Zelikow has a position in the Department of History, after Zelikow chaired the 9/11 Commission, which I have no doubt was precisely the reason they wanted him for January 6th, where Zelikow had as his area of expertise in the academy before he came into the government. Danny, the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. He drafted an outline of the report for the 9/11 Commission a year before he shared it with any members of the staff. And I frankly believe Philip Zelikow scripted the 9/11 events so they'd have maximal public impression. But we know all the key elements from the commandeering of the four aircraft, from the identity of the 19 Islamic terrorists, from the phone calls, from the allegations of the crash sites and all that. It's all provably false. It's all provably false. Just to offer one simple illustration, a half a dozen or more of the guys of the alleged 19 Islamic suicide terrorists turned up alive and well the following day and made contact with the UK media. But the FBI has never revised its list. This reflects what James Files said to me, to wit, when the government commits a lie, it's stuck with it. It stands with it, rain or snow, no matter what. So even though it's been blatantly refuted, since these guys obviously didn't commit die in suicide crashes and they turned up alive and well the following day, which David Ray Griffin, who's now published over a dozen books about 9/11, made as the very first point in his magisterial work, the 9/11 Commission Report Omissions and Distortions. How embarrassing is that? Philip Zelikow, no doubt, would continue with the myth of 19 Islamic terrorists when, in fact, the whole business appears to have arisen in the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu to figure out a fake attack that could be used to justify American forces coming into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that serve as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran, which is, by the way, Danny, such a peace-loving nation that Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1775. And I never tire of observing The ratification of the Constitution began in 1787. George Washington was elected our first president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not launched a war of aggression against any other state. Would that could be said of America, Danny? Meanwhile, the report includes more than 50 interviews with police describing how underprepared they were, that they were beaten and dragged. Again, it says Trump supporters, which is just malicious and false. They describe being left with no guidance as a force incident command system broke down. But we know, Danny, they were actually instructed to welcome the intrusion. We have plenty of photographs of them taking selfies with the so-called insurrectionists. We know we have video showing there were managers and directors in the crowd telling the protesters where to go and what to do. We even have footage that indicates that the shooting of Ashley Babbitt was a staged event as well. Danny, here you can see, though the audience cannot, the timeline, where since Trump didn't finish speaking until 1:11 at the Ellipse a mile and a half away, while the events had begun at 12:40, where the first protesters arrive at 1 o'clock, the police chief saw officers being attacked by 109. He'd already called for the National Guard. And it's very interesting, Danny, that officials in the chain of command would not allow the National Guard to turn out, even though it would have made short work of this nonsense. And the party who blocked it has to have been Nancy Pelosi. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, sir, I'd just like to say, you know, your work on 9/11 is some of the most brilliant work I've ever seen. I mean, you've pointed out, you know, what a fraud that was in so many ways. I mean, you know, I've seen you lecture on that many times, and it seems like every time I watch it, or even if I go back and watch some of that video, I seem to learn something new. But when it comes to the siege, sir, you know, I knew from the beginning something was wrong. I could see the way the police were acting was out of the norm. I mean, they didn't have any real riot gear on. It didn't look like they were, you know, in any sort of a position to fight off any kind of a crowd. But when I watched this supposed siege, sir, and I saw police officers or guys dressed up what looked to be like Capitol police officers actually waving their arms, opening doors, waving the crowd in, saying, come on, follow me, gestures, you know, and those cell phone footage clips started to come out, you know, I was taken back by that. I said, now, wait a minute, what is going on here that you're actually inviting people into the building and waving? We have cell phone footage of police actually telling protesters that they're welcome in the building as long as they don't break anything or, you know, create any damage. And that's very damning when you see that footage, because that goes completely against the MSN's narrative that there was this massive siege on the building. Then we get into the supposedly shooting, which, in my opinion, sir, was nothing more than a false flag. You know, the video that exposes this is probably one of the most highly censored videos on the web. And as soon as you load it up under any prefix, I don't care if you load it up in silence and put happy birthday on it, immediately the bots will come and attack it and take that video down. They're scared of it because what it points out is there's many crisis actors that were in that have been at many other events. And you can see the gentleman with the handgun. When he actually fires the handgun at the woman, the trajectory of the firearm is not even close in her. It's in her vicinity, but the direction of if there was a bullet in that firearm would have missed her. There's no reason for him to be firing a bullet at her at the time because she doesn't have any weapons on her whatsoever. She poses no deadly threat. And anybody listening to our show knows that officers can only use their weapons, you know, when they feel that their life is under threat or if somebody else's life is under threat. And her climbing up on a door like that is no threat. She had no weapon in her hand, none of that. We see her fall back. They put what looks to be almost like a pillow under her head. And then we see some wiping of fake blood on her as the crisis actors all go to work. Even the police that showed up in that particular scene did not look real, as one of them raised their rifle and pointed it right at the shooter with a handgun and then turns around and puts his rifle down and gives that same person he was pointing his rifle at, gives him a thumbs up. And the officer's actually smiling. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Nobody would actually act like that in that real scene, which makes me think that those two or three officers in that scene were fake. So my opinion of the whole thing, sir, it was completely written like a movie. This was pre-scripted with actors. They set this whole thing up. They had control of the Capitol Police. As you pointed out, Nancy Pelosi had control of the police. There were many of them that were in on this siege. They invited these protesters in to create this event as a distraction. And I believe that this commission, sir, that they keep talking about is nothing more than a way for them to create some sort of a distraction, maybe another way to bash Trump, bash conservatives, keep this lie going while they try to cover up all the election fraud which caused all this nonsense in the first place, sir.
Well, while I'm not making the assertion that he was equally responsible here, I will say it would not surprise me if Philip Zelikow was recruited to do the script for the January 6th intervention. Meanwhile, here we go again. JBS, this is a huge meat processor paid Russian hackers $11 million in Bitcoin to resolve a ransomware attack. Danny, this is getting boring. Meanwhile, we have, there's a moment of sheer hilarity coming from Zero Hedge, by the way, which I highly recommend as a reliable source of reports. Earlier today, when during a congressional hearing, the CEO of Colonial Pipeline, Joseph Blount, took the merely farcical episode of the Colonial Pipeline ransomware hack, when, as a reminder, a ragtag band of elite Russian hackers somehow managed to penetrate the company's cyber defenses, but was so stupid it left most, if not all, of the 4.4 million Bitcoin it demanded in ransom in an easily traceable address for the FBI to track down and magically confiscate, where it's still unclear how the feds got the private key to access the hacker's digital wallet in days, if not hours, and elevated it to a level of sheer ridiculous absurdity when he told Congress that he did not consult the FBI before paying the ransom. Zero Hedge put out a tweet. Pipeline CEO says he didn't consult FBI before paying ransom. Because he was paying the FBI? Danny, that may sound ridiculous, but when you were talking about the cell phone videos at the Capitol, I was reminded that in Las Vegas, when concertgoers who weren't part of the scam turned over their cell phones and video, the FBI wiped them clean, Danny. The FBI wiped them clean. That's what you can expect of your FBI today. Completely corrupt. And when you have the DOJ run by Merrick Garland, give me a break. Meanwhile, we have a scenario here, which for now is yet another conspiracy theory, but which we expect will become proven fact in the usual 6 to 9 months. As I pointed out, conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes. They're following leads the government refuses to follow. Primarily, Danny, because the leads lead back to the government. So, you know, they want to protect themselves by seeking to marginalize and suppress the research by those of us who are doing our very best to expose the shenanigans of a grossly corrupt government. Zero Hedge continues. Yet just a few hours later, the exact same ridiculous narrative meant to achieve just one thing: tarnish the reputation of Bitcoin further to the point where the U.S. has to ban it, has struck again. And according to the Wall Street Journal, last week's big hack of food processing giant JBS was also resolved when the company paid $11 million in Bitcoin, of course, because in this day and age, one can't simply dump a suitcase full of cash or send a wire transfer to an incognito account as ransom to the criminals, who will naturally soon be unveiled as Russians, because, of course, that would have to be who was responsible for the cyber attack. Danny, it's embarrassingly bad. This is such nonsense. This is such complete rubbish. How many times do we have to be told the Russians are hacking, the Russians this, the Russian that, when there's nothing to it? I even published a book about it, exposing the Russia hoax. There was never anything to it. And the Democrats are still adhering to their worn-out game plan. I find this embarrassing beyond belief. Your thoughts?
It's just another scam, sir. I mean, you know, I think the American people are tired about hearing about this Russian hoax. Just one time, I'd like to actually meet a Russian that was part of this and hear his side of the story, which we never seem to get to hear about. But, you know, it's just more of the fraud, sir. I mean, you know, we could go back to Charlottesville that you brilliantly exposed with the, you know, that was a complete staged setup play, you know, with scripted actors and scripted crisis actors. You know, we all the players there was set up on that whole entire street to go along. They even lied about the helicopter crash that day, saying that the two officers in the helicopter had died. The media never retracted that story, yet we see the helicopter pilots fine walking around that day. I mean, it was just absolutely a joke. It's one lie after another lie after another lie to craft a narrative that the elites, the globalists want to push on us. It makes me wonder, sir, what's going to be next?
Oh, Danny. Danny, you got that right. I'll tell you, the most disgusting story I've got for us today, and we're going to do a few more before we actually bring callers in, but I will give the number, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Barack Obama, white Americans need to reconcile with their terrible history, apologize, white people. This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here's the most admired black person in history, elected president twice, and he's trashing America. Former President Obama said Monday during an interview with Anderson Cooper, who, in case anyone's unaware, has a history with the CIA. Many suspect Obama as well. Certain right-wing media venues were monetizing, stoking fears of white Americans. Cooper said, looking back, as president, did you tell the story of race in America enough, do you think? Obama said, yeah, well, look, I tried. I think I told a lot of stories. You take a look at the speeches I gave in Selma, the speech I gave during the campaign about Reverend Wright in that episode, and each and every time I tried to describe why it is that we're still not fully reconciled with our history. But the fact is that it's a hard thing to hear. It's hard for the majority in this country of white Americans to recognize that, look, you can be proud of this country and its traditions and history and our forefathers, and yet it's also true this terrible stuff happened and that, you know, that lingers and continues. This is so outrageous, Danny. This is a guy who's received every benefit this nation could be bestowed. We have so much racial camaraderie in this nation. Most of our professional sports teams are made up of black players. They're idolized. They're given fantastic salaries. Most of our entertainers tend to be black as well. Frankly, if it weren't for the Democrat Party, I think racial relations in the U.S. would be pretty good. I think the United States has done more to overcome its past, including, you know, desegregation laws than any other nation in the world. We'll be right back with Danny Siris after this break.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years.
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, where I'm explaining why I find Barack Obama today to be completely repulsive, in spite of the fact that I voted for the guy twice. I thought he was terrific and a hope and an inspiration for the nation. And his corrupt attitude, his ingratitude, his attempt to exacerbate racial tensions rather than overcome them, I find completely unacceptable, completely unacceptable. And yes, until Trump, I had primarily voted for Democrat candidates. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. I voted for Obama twice. But then the Republicans were putting up alternatives like John McCain or Mitt Romney. Who in the right mind could vote for John McCain or Mitt Romney? Meanwhile, Obama is showing his true colors, as it were, and they are indeed black. Obama said, I also think there are certain right-wing media venues, for example, that monetize and capitalize on stoking the fear and resentment of a white population that is witnessing a changing America and seeing demographic changes and do everything they can to give people a sense that their way of life is threatened and that people are trying to take advantage of them. Well, maybe it's because that's exactly what's going on. Look at the border crisis. They're flying black immigrants into all parts of the country. And Danny, I've noticed a lot of these guys are relatively young, you know, like between 19 and 24. They look very physically fit. If you're looking at this from a military point of view, it would appear as though they could be positioning forces in various red states that are going to cause conflict for militias there that might otherwise be well positioned and equipped to defeat or contest a tyrannical government. I am so glad We had a federal judge in San Diego declare that California's 30-year ban on assault weapons was unconstitutional and speak out in favor of a robust Second Amendment. This was sensational. Here we have, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them now is critical race theory. Who knew that was a threat to our republic, according to Barack Obama? But critical race theory is an absurdity. It's an obscenity. It declares that everything we do is a function of our race, our gender, the color of our skin. I can't think of anything more un-American and undemocratic than critical race theory, where Yale, Danny, is even inviting lecturers to discuss their fantasies about killing white people. But Obama tells us anti-white critical race theory is nothing to worry about. BLM rioted and looted all over the country, caused a record $2 billion in damage last year, and said rioting and looting is continuing to this very day. But let's talk instead about the Tulsa race massacre in our terrible history. Even Michelle Obama, born Michael LaVon Robinson, is so full of fear, she's afraid to drive to the Whole Foods outside their home in Martha's Vineyard. My God, Martha's Vineyard, this is perhaps the most exclusive enclave in all of America. And she's afraid to drive to Whole Foods. I mean, this is unmitigated bullshit. We're not supposed to be concerned about the exploding murder rate and the piles of dead bodies being stacked up in the wake of the racial reckoning being promoted by BLM and Antifa, which the Democrats have applauded. No, no, no. We're not supposed to pay attention to the fact that 55 more times blacks are killed by other blacks than are blacks killed by whites, and that 10 times more whites are killed by blacks and whites killed by whites than are blacks killed by whites. And yet all that we hear about from Black Lives Matter and the Democratic Party is a relatively rare incidence of blacks killed by whites. Danny, you'd think all that looting, all that mayhem, all of that arson was committed by White Lives Matter. I can't tell you how disgusting I find this. Your thoughts?
Well, Obama's the great race divider, sir. You know, at the top, this is, to me, is nothing more than the elites or the globalists trying to use race as a weapon to divide us, get us fighting, and cause chaos around the country. You know, white people have been under attack for a long time, constantly being attacked as everything we do is bad, even though, you know, we built this country, we continue to build it every single day. You know, it's just over the top. You know, they use the welfare to control the minority groups who don't work, telling us it's our, you know, it's white people's fault that they don't have a job or that they didn't go to school or they don't have, you know, this or that. They don't drive a nice car. You know, they don't have a nice home to live in, whatever. It's always my fault. Yeah, I am white, but it's not my fault whatsoever. You know, I went to school like everybody else did that I grew up around, got a job, paid my taxes, and so on and so forth. I'm just really tired of them using this race weapon, as you will, as a way to divide us. And then moving on to the gun thing, you know, I really feel sorry for these minorities if they're stupid enough to come from whatever country they came from, and they think that they're going to be placed into a red state somewhere where they might, you know, think they might be militarily armed, you know, because I'm pretty sure that these militias are well-equipped to take care of any insurrection coming in that direction, you know. But the real reason that bothers me the most, sir, that they're being brought here is they're brought here elite to vote. Their vote, you know, their vote is illegal. They're not allowed to vote unless you're an American citizen, yet we know that they're voting anyway, trying to form a block around the country to take away our rights. And it's quite disgusting, sir. We're being attacked from within. They're using welfare as a weapon, and they're basically using our tax money to bribe people to come in from a foreign country and come in here and vote, enjoy the American lifestyle on our dime, and use our money against us to take our rights away from us. It's just a disgusting disgusting thing. Every time I see it, you know, I can barely watch the TV anymore because it's constantly about race. TV commercials are constantly about race. The programming is everywhere. And I'm sick, but sir, I don't know when the end will be in sight, but I think the best we could do is just tune it out and understand what it is. It's all BS done just to try to program the American people into this fraud. And Obama is on top as one of the biggest fraudsters in U.S. history.
I have to agree with every single word. And, you know, Jerry Brown, the former governor of California, was right in their pitching back in 2015 in anticipation of Hillary's run in 2016. They passed a motor voter law in California, which sounds great. When you get your driver's license, you're automatically registered to vote. Except that in California, illegal immigrants are allowed to get driver's licenses, so they'd be automatically registered to vote, even though they were illegals. Danny, you live there. I was born there. The Democrats have been corrupting the nation for a very long time. Interestingly, a poll is suggesting that GOP leaders are not conservative enough. If establishment Republicans and rhinos like Mitt Romney think they can enjoy greater political success by adopting left-wing social values from the Democrats, they should probably think again. A new poll has just revealed half of Republican voters believe the GOP base is growing more conservative than its leadership, suggesting that Republican politicians must adapt to the new Republican Party or become obsolete. A Rasmussen report released on Thursday showed 50% of Republican supporters believe the voters are more conservative than the leadership. It's one of the strongest indications yet that the GOP base believes the party leadership is more liberal than it ought to be. It's so obvious. Even a plurality of Democrats and independents agree with the notion, too. 41% of Democrats saying the leadership is more liberal than the voters and 36% of the independents. 28% of Republican supporters said GOP voters and leaderships are about the same. 15% of Republicans said GOP voters are more liberal than the leadership. The fact that 15% of GOP voters think voters are more liberal than the leadership could be explained a couple of ways. It might simply be an outlier, which is true, every poll has them, may also represent some of the less informed who support the party. It may also be a result of individuals having different ideas about what leadership really means. If people believe ultra-conservative figures in the GOP are technically leaders, then this might be the case in some states. However, when the GOP has party leaders like Mitch McConnell, it's hard to claim leadership is more conservative than the voters. In the run-up to the 2022 election, the poll should be a reminder to Republican officials that their voters are watching what they vote for, what they advocate, and how they present themselves. Meanwhile, Danny, and I find this very disturbing but consistent with every other indication we have that the Biden administration is actually following the Obama plan to destroy America economically, politically, and now it appears even militarily. Biden's first defense budget batters the Army. Get this. No wonder the Biden administration chose to release its 2022 budget just before a long holiday weekend, a common Washington practice for news that officials hope will go unnoticed. Biden's defense budget offers little to improve any of the uniformed services, but would devastate the readiness of the U.S. Army. The Army's 2022 budget needed to be $180 billion just to keep pace with inflation. Biden offers only 173, a loss of $7 billion in purchasing power. It's a budget calculated to take the Army back to the final years of the Obama administration when readiness was miserable. After years of overuse and inadequate defense spending, Vice Chief General Dan Allen informed Congress in February of 2016 that at that time, only three of the Army's 58 brigade combat teams were fit to go to war. Biden's budget would cut crucial combat training, curtail needed end strength growth, and slash equipment programs. If all this were to go through, it would reduce soldiers and units to the poor readiness levels of 2016, if not worse. No element of the Army escapes unscathed. Training for brigade combat teams, the Army's primary combat force, is cut by 30%. Army leadership tries hard to put a positive spin, stating they intend to focus training on lower echelons, such as companies, instead of brigades, but the result will be inevitable. Fewer units ready when the nation needs them. Similarly, combat training center rotations, a crown jewel in the Army's training program, are cut from 26 in 2021 to 17 in 2022. The Defender Series, a joint exercise with NATO allies, which the Army considers a tremendous success, is slashed by $339 million. This will harm readiness and coordination with our European partners. Not just training gets the axe. Most equipment programs are either put on life support or just cut outright. The Black Hawk, Apache, and Chinook helicopter modernization programs are all slashed, cut by at least a third. While most civilians probably wouldn't opt to ride in an older model chopper, it looks like soldiers won't get that choice. Procurement of key platforms like the Armored Joint Light Tactical Vehicle, which replaces the unsurvivable HMMWV, are throttled way back to about 1,200 a year in 2022. At that anemic rate, the Army will need until 2055 to retire the Humvees from its ranks. By then, it will be 75 years old, the equivalent of driving a 1946 Willys CJ2A Jeep today. The replacement for the vulnerable 1960s era M113 armored personnel carrier was supposed to be the armored multipurpose vehicle. After years of hits and starts, it's finally ready for mass production, but the Biden budget proposed by none in 2022. Soldiers, therefore, will be forced to operate a vehicle their grandfathers used in Vietnam. When he was Army Chief of Staff, Mark Miley frequently stated the Army was too small and the regular Army needed to grow to at least 500,000. Many experts, including the bipartisan National Defense Strategy Commission, agreed, saying, simply put, the U.S. needs a larger force than it has today if it is to meet the objectives of the strategy. But Biden's budget puts all efforts to grow the military on hold. In fact, it proposes cutting the overall force by almost 5,000. All these cuts stand in sharp contrast to the average increase of 16% the Biden administration proposes for every federal department other than Defense and Homeland Security, the two departments responsible for America's national security. How odd. Those two should be targeted for what are effectively net decreases in spending. America's adversaries are rapidly increasing and modernizing their military capabilities. They're also doing their utmost to intimidate their neighbors. Think Vladimir Putin in Ukraine, Xi Jinping in South China Sea. Meanwhile, the Biden administration proposes dangerous cuts to military readiness. This is no way to keep us safe. Fortunately, Congress will get the final say. Let's hope they think it through better than has the White House. From retired Army Lieutenant General, three stars, Thomas Spohr, who's the director of the Heritage Foundation Center for National Defense. I got to tell you, Danny, as a former Marine Corps officer, I think he's got it exactly right. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is just another example of the fake Biden presidency's incompetence, sir. I mean, you know, we can't cut our military budget in those ways. I mean, coming from the outside, it almost looks like they're trying to poke holes and do their best to destroy our military, maybe weaken us within. I mean, what president in their right mind would try to do these sort of things? You know, Trump had it right when it comes to the military. And I don't understand what he thinks. We'll have to see if any of this goes through. At this point, it's just a proposal. But the fact that you would try to cut the budgets in these important areas on our military, it makes it look like the American people that you're outright trying to weaken our defense and weaken the U.S. military to the point to where we don't have the means to fight if we need to fight, or we need to get into some kind of an altercation. That's what it looks like to me. It's just another destruction of this country coming from the globalists, is what it looks like to me.
Well, if you wanted to trash America and weaken our ability to defend himself, I can't imagine more successful strategy than flooding the country with illegal immigrants and cutting our defense budget to weaken our military directly, Danny. This, in my opinion, is completely outrageous. And one more reason why I say this party needs to rename itself. It's working against the principles of democracy by wanting to, you know, support all these absentee ballots, non-certification, extended voter hours, and they claim it's the Republicans are trying to suppress the vote. No, the Republicans are trying to ensure the integrity of our elections, and the Democrats do not want that, Danny. They do not want that. They are grossly misnamed. They should be redesignated the Undemocratic Party. Now, I'm glad to invite callers now to 540-352-4452. Danny and I will continue to talk about stories, but you're welcome to call in 540-352-4452. Indeed, Danny, the next study, MIT data scientists, lockdowns not correlated with fewer deaths, but are correlated with more unemployment. Surprise, surprise. Dozens of studies show lockdowns were an ineffective pandemic response. The list just got a little longer. We have an MIT-trained engineer and data scientist, Yu Yang Gu, who's released data showing government restrictions were not correlated with lower COVID mortality, but were correlated with higher unemployment. Surprise, surprise. David Icke, Danny, right off the bat, when he was first diagnosing the pandemic, reported the whole idea was to wipe out the middle class, small businesses, to create, as it were, a feudal society where you have the elite residing in their castles today. Those would be gated communities, and the rest of us toiling as serfs and slaves in the field. And we all know the World Economic Forum is proposing we should give up all of our property and all of our assets and telling us we're going to be happier than we've ever been. I mean, can you imagine such garbage? Who would think that would be the case? In the U.S., he's reported, there's no correlation between COVID deaths and changes in unemployment rates. However, blue states are much more likely to have higher increases in unemployment. More restrictions in a state is not correlated with fewer deaths, but is correlated with higher unemployment. And Danny, we're looking at the table right here where we can see exactly how the correlation works. Nothing surprising here. The COVID-19 pandemic is finally winding down. More and more are beginning to acknowledge hard truths about the failures of the dealing with a virus. Orwell famously observed, in times of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. For some, such as Dr. Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, these truths are a bitter medicine. Fauci's been on the wrong side of numerous pandemic confrontation with Senator Rand Paul. He's been on the losing end each time. Facts are stubborn things. 14 months after the pandemic's arrival, we have an abundance of data showing stay-at-home orders backfired. Lockdowns were terribly ineffective. The harm of lockdown, however, are undeniable. Economic collapse, millions of jobs and businesses lost, rampant spending, surging debt and poverty, an explosion of drug overdoses, poor mental health, and a collapse of health screening, including cancer. Danny, because of the preoccupation with COVID, the routine screening for ordinary kinds of medical problems that would typically be diagnosed and treated successfully has not taken place, which will result in hundreds of thousands of excess deaths in the coming years, if not millions. It won't be easy to acknowledge our failure. As the New York Times noted in 2017, humans have a hard time admitting they are wrong. There's a name for this psychological phenomenon known as cognitive dissonance. And it's illustrated well by the mother who discovers signs that her husband has been molesting their daughter. When the truth finally emerges years later, she can't not explain why she couldn't deal with the situation, but it's because the evidence was inconsistent with her core beliefs about the role of her husband and her daughter's father, just as Americans can't believe that their own government would abuse and use them when they want to believe the government is protecting us and looking out for our best interests. It's all absolutely stunning stuff. Danny, I'll take your thoughts, and then we'll take our first call.
Well, you know, sir, this whole COVID scam, you know, gets worse by the day. Of course, it created massive unemployment. It forced, you know, small businesses to go under. Everywhere I go, I constantly am seeing a business that has closed down, is no longer there. I went to a restaurant the other day, and I saw it had been closed, and it didn't survive the whole COVID thing. You know, we're just tired of this. This whole thing, I believe what David Icke said is true. I mean, it was just made to collapse the economy. They want to bring in their new one world government, new world order. They want their one world currency. And that was their move. You know, they were trying to take us out. Now they're trying to thin out the herd with this poison RDNA vaccine. And I just feel for the millions of people that got conned into taking this vaccine that was only approved on an emergency basis. You know, we see all this death and all these injuries that are coming out. You know, I've seen a lot of people have to go out on disability permanently because of this vaccine, because of the damage it caused.
Danny,
it's a shame.
Danny, you're absolutely spot on. We're about to hit the break, and when we return, we'll take our first caller. Surprise, surprise, Paul from California. Looking forward to hearing his thoughts for today. And Danny, I'm just delighted to have you here. Meanwhile, Anthony Fauci is suggesting any attack on his position is an attack on science itself. This is absurd. The greatest, the man who'll go down as the greatest mass murderer in all of history is coming into the sights of the American public for the scam he's perpetrated not only on America, but the rest of the world as well. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Thank you.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer here with Danny Siris, and we have our first caller on the line, Paul from California. Share your thoughts, Paul. We're glad to have you here.
Well, thank you for saying that. Attacking science, huh? So attacking Fauci would be like attacking science. Well, you know, if we have, you know, anything that we can be clear on, it's that a lot of science should be attacked, and especially what the Germans called Jew science. Because when you look at what these people bring to every single nation, at least all the white nations, it's poison, okay? Their financial economic system is poison. Their medical system is poison. Their media system is poison. Their educational system, it's brainwashing and propaganda, is poison. Make a case that it's anything but. And when you see what they're doing to us with the vaccine, what's that? It's poison, simple, plain, nothing else to it. There's a great two-page, it's only two-page PDF by Miles Mathis, mainly focusing on the theft of these vaccines, okay? He touches a little bit upon their health effects, but I'm going to read just a couple of, you know, paragraphs here that are modified a little bit, and you get the idea, okay? Basically, the heads at Pfizer and Moderna are in on the stealing of billions, hundreds of billions of dollars from you for a vaccine that doesn't work. It isn't even a vaccine, since it doesn't provide any immunity, according to their own press releases. The vaccine only lessens symptoms. That's not a vaccine. All these so-called new vaccines are fake, and they're gene therapy, and they do not match the definition of a vaccine, if a vaccine ever worked anyway. This gene therapy is completely experimental and is best known to be dangerous. If you have taken this vaccine, you are nothing more than an unwitting guinea pig. Many have already died, and maybe you'll die too. I don't know. In fact, this fake vaccine rollout has broken all 10 points of the Nuremberg Codes. Worldwide, thousands of doctors, scientists, and lawyers that were previously mainstream, including some Nobel laureates, are calling this a crime against humanity, possibly the worst medical crime against humanity in history. Now I'm going to skip down. It says, so if you were wondering what all this COVID fakery was about, all the masking, the lockdowns, the fudging of statistics and data, now you know. It was about prepping the world for this fake vaccine, and it was about stealing and raping the treasuries worldwide like never before, at levels of theft never before seen or imagined. Trillions have been siphoned and stolen out of treasuries, laundered through these fake vaccine companies and these fake stimulus packages, ultimately ended up in the pockets of the very rich. The very rich, of course, are always stealing from us. And, of course, the very rich are invested in the vaccine companies and all other companies profiting from this manufactured crisis. So this is just another in a series of thefts from the taxpayers by the very rich, which has taken place for a very long time. Trillions are being stolen and trillions are being spent and put on the Fed's balance sheet, which will be paid, guess, by you. You and your children and grandchildren will be subsidizing this theft to the very rich for the next century and more. This is the way the world works. This is the way the world has worked for a very long time, and it's getting worse every year. Since 2000, the theft has skyrocketed to the stratosphere, and now it is done almost in the open with almost no effort to hide it. The media lies right to your face, treating you like a stupid child, and demand that you buy into the lies. I suggest you stop. I suggest you also stop them from pillaging our country and your bank accounts. This has to end. So that was paraphrased and modified a little bit by me. Thank you.
That's a good statement, Paul. I agree with all of that. I would make a correction to your preface, however. It's not science per se that's at fault here. It's pseudoscience. It's fake science. It's fake data, fudging data. You got to understand, science, meaning empirical science, is our most reliable way of determining the truth. And it's an alternative methodology involving observation, measurement, and experiment to crystal ball gazing, coin tossing, tarot card reading, random guessing, yes, making up your mind and never changing. So that, with that qualification, I think your statement from Miles Mathis is impeccable. Danny, let me invite your comments to Paul's discourse.
I have more, but that was...
The thing is, you know, Anthony Fauci, as you said, is going to go down as one of the biggest fraudsters in U.S. history. He's a globalist, a puppet, in my opinion. He's taken millions of dollars to lie, deceive the American people to push this COVID fraud on the world. Nothing more. Science has nothing to do with his job. You know, when he was younger, maybe when he first got out of med school for a while, he might have done some good things back when he got started. But somewhere along the line, he fell off of the ladder, hit his head, and, the money compromised him. And he's just done nothing but push this fake thing. I mean, look how we caught him with the mask. We saw him, back in the mid-2000s write a paper talking about hydroxychloroquine and the benefits. But yet he comes out and says that, it's not doing anything. It won't help people. He's a globalist puppet, sir. He's a mass murderer, in my opinion. He belongs in the jail. Under the jail, or worse, history is going to write books about this fraudster. I don't know how he can live with himself, after what he's done. Mm-hmm. It's just amazing. I'm not sure what else to say, but this guy is just as fake as it gets.
I think his standing in the public arena has taken serious hits, and I do not believe he is going to be able to recover. While Paul is here, let me simply reiterate the number to call in if you'd like to participate in the conversation with Danny, me, and now Paul, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will field your call and we'll get you on the air. Paul, did you have comments on other aspects of what we've been reporting here this morning?
I always have comments. I hope they can flow properly. So, Jim, regarding your reaction, of course, this doesn't need to be stated. You know what I was talking about. The subtext of everything, it should be obvious from all my calls over the years. I'm just using the term Jew science to mock these people because all they do is lie to us all the time.
Yeah. And there's actually Paul. Yeah. I'm a professional philosopher of science. I mean, I earned my PhD in the history and philosophy of science. I cannot have you trash science without making clear what you really mean is pseudoscience. I mean, this represents my entire career, 35 years of offering courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning. So
okay,
that was simply a clarification, no. Paul. Of course, I understood what you meant, but our audience is much larger.
No, I bet you that all. I bet you almost everybody in the audience understood. Let me further go on. I wanted to jump on a line that you said early. There's so many things I actually made a mental note. So earlier on, you're talking about these nurses in Houston, these healthcare workers that refuse to take the vaccine. And you made a statement, which I understand, and it's probably a common perception. You said, presuming that the healthcare worker, or there's a presumption that the healthcare workers are better informed than the general public. Well, in my opinion, that is an absolutely false presumption. And it, to me, it's been proven in spades over the years with my interaction with these sorts of people. All they are, at best, they repeat back successfully whatever information they've been given in school, okay?
Paul, I can guarantee you this.
Don't stop me. Let me go, please. Why do you keep doing that? Here's the thing, okay?
You're trying my patience. The point I was going to make is this. In the popular mind, the healthcare workers know more. It's therefore a significant story.
The popular mind.
Listen, Paul, if you cannot be decent, this is a problem I've had with you again and again and again.
The problem is you keep interrupting my flow. You've had the whole first hour.
Drop him. Just drop him. Drop him, man.
I can't ever let somebody...
Yeah. Oh, let's bring in Scaredy Cat. Scaredy, I'd like
Please
to have
Please leave
you...
your message for...
Scaredy, give us your thoughts.
Hey, Jim, and... I guess hi, Paul, too, from California, and Danny, and hi, Mitch. So just to connect to what Paul was saying about the, I think he mentioned, I have never read this author, Miles Mathis's article about this whole, governmental and societal situation being a scam and it being mainly for theft. So I would actually like to say that that is the best way to focus. Some people call it a scamdemic or other names instead of pandemic. In other words, endemic disease everywhere, or scam endemic everywhere. So I've been calling it a theft-demic. In order to really focus, to see clearly what's happening. So basically, how, the slogans that they're putting to us, this new hypnotism is the... we are in the new normal. So as you know, good guys and perceptive people such as yourself, Jim and Danny, have realized that it's not, that that's just a slogan, and that we have to see everything, active people who actively want to wrest good from evil, see everything as opposite to what the bad guys are saying, because only then it makes sense. What bad guys want to do and say, we must see it as the opposite. So when we hear new normal, we have to think, great, what we have to fight, what this really is the old abnormal, because this makes it clear for us that this is mankind's ancient struggle, our struggle since the ancient times to establish goodness for ourselves personally. First, we have to struggle to be good, and then further, if you have further energy, to strike down tyranny, in other words, work against the cruelty and deception, so that goodness may be established not only within our own heart and mind and lips and hands and feet, but also that it can establish, goodness can establish and grow in society.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message, press 3. For delivery options, press 4. To send a fax, press 6. To cancel this message, press star. To send this message now, Scary. Press pound or hang up.
Scaredy, I don't know why we had all that interruption, but go ahead. Finish your thought. Danny, are you there? You want to comment on Scaredy?
Well, I'm here. I mean, you know, she's just pointing out that Fauci for FUD. I'm not sure what happened. We got interrupted there. She had an interesting point she was making. But, you know, I'm just going to continue to say that, you know, Dr. Fauci is one of the biggest fraudsters in U.S. history, Dr. Fetzer. I mean, he's completely compromised his medical degree. You know, science, pseudoscience is what it is. His science went out the window a long time ago when he started getting on and testifying falsely about the coronavirus.
Please leave your message for
the vaccine.
Go ahead, Daddy. I know.
I think the American people are tired of listening to him, sir. I don't think he's ever going to recover. You know, I don't understand why he hasn't been fired a long time ago. But, you know, he's simply a globalist puppet. He was installed into his position to push a narrative and to help sell the coronavirus scam to the world and to the United States. And, you know, we're seeing a result of that now. I mean, frankly, every time I hear him or I see him on television, I just turn it off. I no longer want to hear anything that he has to say. He's just not credible, sir. He doesn't have any science. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have any science to back up anything he says anymore. He's more like a Democrat politician than a doctor. It's quite disgusting, sir.
Yeah, truly. It truly is, Danny. It truly is. Mitchell, I would like to invite your comments about any and all of the above. If we're still connected, where I'm really, frankly, not yeah, sure.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we are, Jim. I just I crisscrossed there with Chicago Brew. He's on now.
Okay.
And he'd call. I'd call him back. I'd get his answer machine as he's trying to call me back.
Okay.
It's like that. Sometimes.
I'll take Brew. Sure. Always glad to have Brew here. Brew, join the conversation with me and Danny and Scaredy.
Well, to add to Danny's list of results of the pandemic, you know, we get more phone calls from Paul. And it's given Paul time to figure out technology, so he's messing with the phone lines now. So, Paul.
Welcome to Verizon's anyway. Voice messaging service. To leave
See,
a message,
there,
please
there
re-enter
goes.
The number of
Said
the person.
It again.
You think Paul is doing this?
He's a master of technology now. He's been holding it under his sleeve, not telling us, and just waiting for the prime moment, you know. Anyway, where's Preston James? Where's that guy you had on 2 years ago that was writing that book about conspiracy theories and looked at you as a mentor? Where are these people, and especially Preston James? He's been gone and out of the scene for a while. What's going on here? Where's our people?
Preston, who's a very good friend of mine, is not in great health, and he's had to go back to work. I mean, the man was retired. He's been defrauded by the government of literally millions of dollars, Brew. It's quite a story there. And I'd love to have the opportunity for him to tell it. But right now, I'd say he has a number of conflicts that make that not something he's in a position to do. Give us your thoughts about the rest of this, even including Paul. Well, I mean, I don't know why should Paul get pissed off when I tell him he's going overboard.
I'm just teasing with Paul and Paul. Paul, I don't know. I'm just teasing with Paul. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We're always telling him, chill out. You know, I mean, come on. He gets a voice. He gets a lot of voice. There's no reason to be upset about it.
Your recording has reached the maximum length. To replay your message, press 1. To delete and re-record your message.
Oh, actually, so, you know, that's your answering machine.
That's all right, Mitchell. We got it. Go ahead, Brew.
Let's start with the Fauci emails. First of all, you know who released the Fauci emails, who allegedly did the FOIA request? Guess who? BuzzFeed. Well, what does BuzzFeed go back to? Oh, gee, isn't BuzzFeed the one that initially they took point in releasing the PP dossier on President Trump that started the whole Russian collusion method? So they're the ones that did the FOIA request, and they're exposing Fauci. We know BuzzFeed, they rely on the money that they get from whatever sources they get it, and it's the only thing that keeps them in business. So we know this is an operation from the get-go, okay?
That's very interesting, Brew. Let me bring Danny in on that. Brew makes the interesting point that BuzzFeed was involved in corrupt acts in the past. Danny, your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you can't really believe anything that they post. I mean, maybe if they report fire down the street, that might be accurate. But most of their stories seem to be hocus pocus. But, you know, I'm just going to stay on the Anthony Fauci bandwagon. You know, he's just a scam, a globalist puppet. He's a liar, and he's paid to lie. He's compromised. I don't think anything he does, sir, has anything to do with any sort of medical degree. I'd like to point out all the doctors around the world, especially some of the brilliant doctors we have around this country, that continue to point out his falsehoods. I mean, we have doctors that are in Congress now that point out his falsehoods, that'll come out and say, hey, wait a minute, what you just said last week, now you're saying this. I mean, he's flip-flopped so many times about the mask thing. First, he says, you know, masks don't work, okay? Masks don't work. Then he says everybody has to wear a mask. Now, then you have to wear two masks. I think at one point we had to wear more than two masks. I've lost count of how many times the guy has changed his mind to fit the narrative of the week. I feel like he's reading a teleprompter script most of the time. He's not reliable whatsoever. And I just don't understand why anybody would consider listening to him at this point, sir.
Yeah, I think he's worn out his welcome. Brew, continue more, yeah. And Mitchell, by the way, agrees with you. It was kind of a preemptive strike, you know, to take the wind out of the sails when the emails came out with greater force. That was a protective of Fauci move. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I don't know where to insert this front or back, but they have MAD there, mutually assured destruction. Fauci has been in so much inner workings with the nefarious characters that he has, you know, enough on them to where they can't, you know, they send him down the river while it's going to come back on them. They call it the mutual assured destruction. Okay, they would have to literally do an Epstein with him and make him disappear, not saying by actually murdering him or taking him, you know, putting him 6 feet under, but just disappear him, take him out of the scene, chilling his heels on a beach in Tel Aviv at 80 something years old that he is. I'm sure he wouldn't mind it. And the whole thing goes away, just like, and nothing actually gets to mainstream, just like the whole Epstein stuff.
A beach on Tel Aviv. I love that. Danny, your thoughts?
Yeah, beach in Tel Aviv. That's funny. Well, I mean, you know, I can't name one credible thing that he's talked about. I mean, you know, I'd like to point out an interview with Dr. Mikovits, where Dr. Mikovits, in her background interview, said that Fauci tried to put her in jail because she was exposing the AIDS stuff.
They succeeded. She did 5 years in jail because of Fauci and all their garbage.
Excuse me. Go ahead. What was that, sir? I missed that.
You're talking about Judy Mikovits, and she actually did serve about, you know, several years in jail because of Fauci and whatever, because she was hot on their heels. Look, that's the other thing I was actually going to get into. I'm glad you brought it up, Danny. I'll bring it up right now. That, look, Fauci, Dr. Death there, Fauci stole the research from the French scientist researcher that Judy Mikovits was working with. And Fauci stole the HIV research and claimed it as his own. Then Fauci was then catapulted it in the next level. He owned, now had this research, HIV research, where he claimed as he owned, and he woke up every morning, every day, to this very moment we speak, he wakes up every morning thinking, how can he weaponize it to cause harm against people? How can he make money off of it? And how can he get more power from it? And he has done that ever since. And he started off with the whole HIV epidemic and all the harm it was caused from that. And he's what can he use? Because the HIV itself is such a source that they've been able to use it for so many things. And now that we're in this COVID thing, what's the gain of function? The HIV. That's Dr. Death Fauci's signature from the research he stole initially from the scientist that Judy Mikovits worked for. Judy Mikovits tells her story, and I don't know how many years in jail she spent, but because of all the involvement and trying to expose Fauci and their cast of characters there, they ended up taking her down, and she ended up going to jail for upwards of, I'm going to suggest 5 years. I don't know if that's the exact time, but she actually did pay a penalty for it. And ever since she got out and whatever, NDAs are gone, so on and so forth, she has been able to now come out and expose writing her books. She's got two books out.
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
Judy's doing a brilliant job along with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and a host of others. And now we have, of course, the massive class action suit coming out of Germany. The problem is all the damage that is done, all the devastation, and indeed, in this case, death, from the time that this completely improper action begins to the time they can actually clean it up in a court of law, we're going to lose, I predict, tens of millions, possibly even hundreds of millions, and there are going to be an awful lot of those who are American citizens. It's absolutely stunning. Danny, further thoughts of yours?
Well, I've enjoyed Dr. Mikovits' interviews. I mean, they've been quite eye-opening. You know, that's somebody that talks about the science, and, you know, she documents her proof, and she shows it. And, you know, she's been pointing out Fauci. I was taken back when she told that story about how she did have to go to jail over that exposing. I mean, you know, Dr. Fauci's had a career now. Again, when he was younger, he might have done some good. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to what he was doing. But you know what? Ever since that AIDS thing, you know, he's got on the globalist bandwagon of pushing their narratives and their false claims to push a narrative on the American people. You know, and to do it, sir, and to compromise his medical license on the oath he took to make money or to enrich himself is quite disgusting. I don't think they can make a jail big enough to house that guy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what should happen to him. I'm not a judge. I'm not a jury. I certainly wouldn't mind being on the jury that presides over his punishment when that day comes, though, I can tell you that.
Well, we're coming toward the end. I just want to thank Paul, too, for calling in, even though it was mixed. Scarity, I'm sorry we lost you, but you made some good points. And Brew, you're making several excellent points. Danny, just wonderful to have you here again. In fact, if you have a final thought, Danny, you're welcome to have it.
Well, sir, I just want to, you know, publicly thank you for all of your work that you do constantly and weekly. For bringing these stories to the American people. It's quite an honor, sir, to always be on your show and to continue in any way I can to bring this out to the American people. I believe we just got to keep going. I'd also like to thank all your guests that all the time.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law. Unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government. Reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict. But